What's up, y'all? Welcome to Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. I'm Coach K, and I'm super excited to be here as always. And whether we are joining together collectively as we refocus and recenter our breath and take some time in a breathing meditation, or if we are just chit-chatting about the things that really matter in life, I'm always excited to be here with you. So as we dive into this week's episode, I encourage you to grab you a cup of coffee, find you a comfy seat, and let's just get it going. Hey, y'all, and thank you for joining me for Coffee and Conversations with Coach K. It is podcast number 18, and I'm kind of trying to figure out what's going to happen after this. I think I'm going to keep going. I think it's necessary, but thanks for joining me. Grab you something to drink just so we can chit-chat. You know, I like to talk about health and life and wellness, and I come at you from a place of healing and helping us all figure out how to heal mind, body, and spirit. So if you're joining me, thanks so much. Hope you're having a great day, and let's get going, shall we? Last episode, I talked to you a bit about what has been going on with me. We're trying to get to the bottom of what is happening with the cells in my body. I feel great, but my cells are doing something a little awkward, a little crazy. And so we are in workup for a second round of breast cancer. 2011, I was diagnosed with DCIS, stage zero. Underwent, just to catch you up from last week a little bit, underwent a bilateral radical mastectomy with reconstructive surgery to follow, and I was deemed clear. In the clear, no radiation, no chemo. And 10 years later, I am in a space where I've developed some severe chest concern, and going back through workup to try to figure out what it is and what's going on. Last week, I left you at the place of biopsy, and that is where we're going to pick up this little saga, this little story. So now it's time to biopsy the in quotation marks area of concern. And I understand medical lingo, I understand medical terms. I've been a nurse now for over 20 years. I can't even remember when I graduated right now, but I've been a nurse for 20 years. And so I pretty much have an understanding of what things are. I might have to look up a word or two or a definition, you know, everybody don't know everything. So in the midst of this though, I think I just lost all knowledge. When you become a patient, and maybe some of my fellow medical healthcare workers can attest to this. When you become a patient, you become stupid. You almost become immune because it's an out-of-body experience. And so it makes it very just different for you. It's a very different experience when it is you or someone you love. And so when it became me, I was a little lost. And so the idea of biopsying completely sent me into a state of pure panic. You guys, I hate needles. Not gonna lie. I hate needles. I hate the pain of needles. I hate the way needles look. They have like this eye at the end. Go with me here for a second. Here's your entertainment, okay? Needles have a tip at the end, and then there's an opening. There's a little opening so you can take whatever out that you need. Take whatever out of the body or whatever you're putting the needle into. That's what that needle, that hole is for. And then that sharp point allows you to pierce something. Like, I get super technical about it, but I am deathly afraid of needles. Will I poke somebody with one to give them an IV so they can get fluids or life-saving medication? You bet your butt I will in a hot second, because that is my job. Da, 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 da. But when it comes to me, no ma'am. No ma'am. Like old boy said on TikTok, no ma'am, no ham, no turkey. It just doesn't work for me. And so even discussing it before having it done, I began to get anxious, and I had to draw from my toolbox of things to do in order to help calm myself, because I knew it was a necessary evil. I knew it was something that I had to get through. And so between meditations and deep breathing and talking with friends and reading encouraging pieces of information and memes and laughing through TikToks, you know, we were able to get to a place where I said, okay, I've got to get this done. The procedure is necessary to diagnose the issue. Sometimes you have to inspect a thing to really know what it is. All right. Sometimes you gotta break away. Sometimes you gotta open it up. Sometimes you gotta dig deep with something that is painful in order to really evaluate what it is. You might have to use some tools and techniques that might hurt while you're doing it. But it's important for you to have it done in order for you to really assess the situation. So we get into the room for the biopsy, and I'm freaking out already, even with my techniques, but I'm going to go through it. You can go through something and freak out and still go through something. There's nothing wrong with freaking out, or I don't want to come up with something different than saying freak out. How about we are adjusting to the situation? How about we're normally adjusting to the situation? We got to normalize a freak out moment. Can we do that? Can we normalize the idea of assessing what's about to happen and not being okay with it, but still being okay with doing it? Let's normalize that as a people, because that's what stops us a lot of times from moving forward and doing the things that are necessary, from moving forward and doing the things that we have to do. We feel like a freak out moment is our opportunity to stop and not move forward. We're still talking biopsy here, but we're talking about other things too. So I feel like it's necessary to throw that out there as we all, you know, walk along this life's journey and truly continue to heal from the inside out. It's okay to be a little nervous and scared of something, but it's not okay to stop just because we are. Especially if we know that in the long run, it's going to be for our benefit. Okay. So moving forward, I walk in and the nurse is just precious, as all nurses are, right? Wink, wink. I walk in and she is very interested in asking me questions and deciding how it's best to handle my state, because we're not allowed to have visitors. We're not allowed to have people come in with us. It's COVID time. Da-da-da-da. And so her role as my support system, as my support team, changed. She had to go from helping the doctor and being in her role as the assistant to holding my hand and being my support as well. And so the tears had already started, because that's a release for me. And so that's what you're going to get, especially if I'm nervous or scared. The tears had already started. And I said to her, you know, just ignore what you see on the outside. I'm going to do this, but I'm very nervous and I'm very scared. I don't like needles. I realize that this could mean that my cancer is back, and so I am worried. And being honest with the situation allowed her to know where she can help me. And so I said that because sometimes we have to be honest about where we are so somebody can help us, or so we can help ourselves. It was an opportunity for me to be very honest with where I was, and it gave her permission to truly help me move forward. So we lay on the table, we get changed and lay on the table. She's holding my hand. The doctor comes in and explains to me the process. It's called informed consent, y'all. It's informed consent. And so she's explaining to me the process and tells me a part of the procedure is to leave something inside my body. Hold up. Time out. So we gonna do what now? That's exactly what I said. Just like that. No pause. Hold up. Time out. So you're leaving something in. My understanding was you're taking something out. No, ma'am, we have to leave a clip in so we know where we went. There's probably way more information than's necessary, but they had to leave something inside. And so that is where we took a pause for the cause. I needed more information. I needed to know why you had to leave it in. I needed to know the relevance of it. I needed to know who would do that and why would they do that and what purpose does it serve? Because it's my body. And I need to have some control over what you're doing to my body. I understand you need to do what you need to do, but I need to know why you're doing it because that's important. It's relevant. It's very relevant. And so after taking about 10 minutes to explain it to me, and I'm still really anxious and nervous about leaving the clip in, she calls for backup. She calls in for reinforcement. Her boss, the head honcho, Mr. Pathology Guy himself, comes in and he rubs my shoulder, holds my hand, explain to me why you're concerned, explain to me what your fear is. The whole process took probably 20 or 30 minutes longer than it should have because of my initial concern, because of my fear. But in the end, I was thankful that I stood my ground and wanted a good explanation as far as why they felt the need to leave something inside. So we get through the procedure, and I am a big believer in music, calming music, and how it helps the procedure to just move along. I think it helps everybody in the room, quite honestly. It releases some of my fears. It's a distraction for the people in the room. It kind of helps everyone focus. And so I made one simple request. If we're going to move forward, can I play music on my phone while you're doing it? Sure, no problem. Now, I should have put on like some nice, you know, twerking music, but I didn't think that was appropriate. So I threw on my favorite spa instrumental music that makes you feel like you're actually inside of a spa. It's a great idea. Just giving that to you for free, people. If you're ever having to do something that's a little concerning and you're anxious and nervous or scared of it, and you can have some soothing music in the background that's just going to relax you, by all means, ask and do it. I think a lot of times we don't do things like that because we don't ask. We don't even think about it. It is a true calming technique that is available to you, and I encourage you to keep that in your back pocket for when you need it. So I turned on some spa instrumental music. I closed my eyes and I truly pretended like I was on an island. I love to vacation. I absolutely love going on vacation, especially to an island or a beach somewhere where I can lay out in the sun and just enjoy myself. And so I closed my eyes and pretended I was somewhere else, anywhere else, but on a table, getting poked with a needle. Yeah, that's what we did. And so once the procedure was over and they got what they needed, we began to close up the wound, or, you know, help it to heal. And a small note about me is I'm a bit of a bleeder. You cut me, I bleed for a minute. All right. That's true about me in relationships and life. And it's true physically when you literally cut me. And so after everyone had left and the nurse was the only one there with me holding pressure on that area that they just did a quick poke, a little core biopsy, if you're interested in what it's truly called. She did a core biopsy and we began to discuss the post-procedure care. She gave me my instructions and what I can do for pain. And, you know, if you have issues, this is the number to call and things of that nature. And she's still holding pressure and I still have not stopped bleeding. Literally, I have not stopped. And she's continued to hold and we're still talking. And she goes, what do you do? Like, what do you do? What's your job? And I gave away my secret. I don't really give out the information that I'm a nurse on first glance. I feel like, you know, I give people an opportunity to just live their lives. And I finally told her I'm a been a nurse this amount of years. This is where I work. This is what I do. And she's like, oh my gosh, you should know these things. And there was a bunch of you shoulds. And I had to quickly explain to her, it's very different as a patient. It is extremely different as a patient. If you were on the table, tell me how you would feel. And so we discussed that a bit more, and she was still holding pressure because I still had not stopped. I was still at the point of, it takes a while. It is what it is. And so then she decided to explain to me the process for the results of the pathology, of the results of the procedure. I would not have that information for at least 7 days, at least 7 days. And I started to think, oh my gosh, I have to wait to see what the results are. And so they can determine the treatment. And this is where I give you a few lessons that I learned in that experience. Okay. There's a power in pausing. There's a true power in pausing. In the medical field, one of the things that make care so safe, especially if you're getting a procedure or something's getting done, is the person, whoever is doing the procedure, they take what we call a timeout. Is that not like the best word? A timeout. There's so much power in pausing and having a timeout. It allows you to think. It allows you to have questions, and it ensures accuracy. And in life, I feel like it is important for us to pause and take a time out. I know growing up, that was seen as a negative consequence for doing something that you maybe should not have done. You know, you got to go to the corner and have a time out, go sit in the naughty chair, tisk tisk. But what sitting in that chair, what we would tell our kids when they went to the corner or they sat in the chair, it was, you go take a time out and think about your actions. It's the same thing in life. And when you're going through something like this, it is important for you to take a pause so that you can think through whatever is happening and for you to evaluate the situation, ask yourself whatever questions you need, and be really accurate in your decision making. So there's true power in the pause. You have to listen to your spirit. You have to be able to listen to your spirit. Vibes don't lie. Vibes don't lie. That inner person was given to us as a safety mechanism. That inner being, that thing that kind of twinges a little bit whenever there's something that just doesn't feel right or doesn't sound right, that, you know, raises the hairs on your arms and make you take a minute. Those are important. They're there for a reason. Don't ignore them. Listen to them. I have those tingly feelings whenever I have to do something that might be a little scary. And I truly do listen to them. I truly do make a full-on stop and listen to it, because vibes don't lie. Lastly, was the very end of that discussion with my the nurse. It was, you gotta wait. You have to wait. So what do you do while you wait? What do you do while you wait? Do you fret? Do you worry? Do you let the concerns completely take over your life? Or do you empower yourself? And I want you to choose to empower yourself. That's what I did. Is there worry inside of that? Sure, but it didn't take over. It propelled me and it pushed me to actually research and begin to see what I could do while I was waiting. While I was waiting, regardless of what the result is, and I don't want to give you the end of the story too quickly, but regardless of what the result is, I wanted to educate myself because I knew that this was not the end and not the beginning, but I was in the middle. And that is where waiting happens, is in the middle. So I started to research articles and I started to listen to podcasts, much like this one, that could give me some information that maybe I could use to help myself, better myself, educate myself, bring myself to a different place and space. reputable articles are what I searched out, things that were from medical journals, and some anecdotal, because I feel like both are important because you have to be able to evaluate them all. I looked at videos. I found some books that were super, super helpful. I will include the majority of them on my show notes. But one of them that was referred to me by an energy practitioner is Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. In that one, maybe you've heard of it. If you haven't, it's a great short, super, super short read. Y'all, it's like legit 80 pages. It's a really great read in that it gives you an opportunity to kind of research maybe some of the things that you're struggling with and ideally figure out how to fix them. You are in charge of your healing. Do you have people along the way to help you? Yes, you should. But in the end, you're in charge of it yourself. So Heal Your Body, Louise Hay is one. The other one I wanted to make sure and mention was Eat to Beat Disease, The New Science of How Your Body Can Heal Itself by Dr. William W. Lee. He has a fantastic TED Talk, which was how I found it because I love TED Talks. Love them. Love them, love them. So in his TED Talk, he starts talking about angiogenesis and really cool stuff because I'm a science nerd and I love stuff like that. So I was just interested. And then when I found his book, I'm hooked. I'm hooked. This book is a New York Times bestseller. He's not paying me for this advertisement. Neither is Louise Hay. But both of these books have been my lifeline during this wait. And I am still currently in the wait. There's so much more that I want to share with you. I don't like to go way over. You know that about me. So I'll leave you with that. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. I hope I've shared something that, you know, you can find useful. Please pass it on to people that are maybe dealing with a health crisis, whether it is physical or mental. These are things that are that we share with each other. You know, this is how we care for one another. So thank you again for listening. I will see you next week with more tales, and more tools and things that we all can use in order to, continue on our healing journey. I hope you have a great rest of your day. As always, thank you for joining me, and remember to, do good, live well, and be good to yourself. Bye-bye.